Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Last week, we were looking at some of the Christian liberals who were specifically Tim Keller, Russell Moore, and Kirsten Powers, who, among others, of course, who are trying to deceive naive evangelical Christians to vote for the Democratic Party. Things like abortion, homosexual marriage, etc. So many other unbiblical ideas and actions. Too many really to number here to go over. But this was what we've been looking at, really, at some of the current events of our midterm elections here in America. And I wanted to make a further note from last week concerning Kirsten Powers, who I went to some extent in showing her connection both to Tim Keller as a convert at his church, and then continuing on in her news career, newscasting career, both USA Today, CNN contributor, etc., and the platforms that she has for promoting her particular liberal biased ideas, only now claiming to be a Christian in so doing. And, you know, without going into rehashing a lot of the same things I've already mentioned about Kirsten Powers, you know, she had claimed that she was a Christian now after having been an atheist, really after she had attended Tim Keller's church, and had had an experience with Jesus, or a Jesus of some sort, that had convinced her now that she could claim to be a Christian. Now, I want you to remember that Jane Fonda, the old actress, super liberal, anti-Vietnam veteran, actress, liberal superhero, you know, she had claimed to be a Christian once upon a time herself, and everybody was all excited in the Christian community. I remember that was many years ago. And later, of course, Fonda denounced that whole born-again bit. She really did not want to be seen as a born-again Christian. You know, at least at that point, she was becoming honest and acknowledging she didn't want to be grouped together as a born-again, biblical-type Christian. She didn't want to be identified with that at all. And, of course, it's understandable, as it turns out. Of course, she was actually heretical Gnostic. Gnostics, of course, have been with us from the early church on and are one of the early heresies that plagued the church. So, you know, her so-called Christianity was actually Gnosticism. So, what's the lesson we can learn here, of course? Well, you don't always believe someone because they say they're a Christian. Well, why would they say they're a Christian if they're not a Christian? Well, you know, the devil may be using them to deceive you. He might want to lead you down the same path that they've been deceived on and upon, and take you down that path. And, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 tells us to test all things. I remember one of my heroes, Dave Hunt, would always say, "Hey, test all things. Test everyone. Test everything that's being said. Test me," he would say. "Make sure you're testing what I say according to what the Word of God says, what the Bible says." And, of course, if it's good enough for Paul the Apostle, and it's good enough for Dave Hunt, it's good enough for me. You know, Paul the great apostle himself was tested via the Scripture by the Bereans. Back in Acts 17, you can read about it. They didn't just accept Paul's statements. Paul had an experience with a Jesus. Turned out it was the real one in Paul's case. But they didn't just take him at his word. They tested what he was saying and preaching with his gospel. And they looked at the Old Testament and the signs of the coming Messiah and all the other things. And they tested what Paul was saying rather than just say, "Oh, okay, well, if you say it, that's good enough for us. You must be a Christian because you said so, Paul. We don't know who you are, don't know anything about you or whatever, but we'll accept this." And so Paul was tested by the Bereans, by the Word of God. And in the same way, of course, Jane Fonda should have been tested by the Christians at that time, the biblical Christians, and Kirsten Powers, who, you know, Jane Fonda turns out is a Gnostic. Now Kirsten Powers has converted to Catholicism. I personally do not believe Catholicism is true Christianity, and I personally do not believe that the Catholic gospel is the gospel of the scriptures. And I don't believe you can be saved by the Catholic Church. There may be some Christians that are in the Catholic Church, attending the Catholic Church, but they've been saved in spite of the Catholic Church, not because of it. You know, they may have heard the gospel and gotten saved, and they decided to continue to attend their Catholic Church. But in the case of Kirsten Powers, now she has become a Catholic, which adds more reason for me to question whether or not she's truly a Christian. And then, of course, maybe she fell in love with Pope Francis, because he's far left-wing in politics, as just about anyone out there. And so, interesting, some of the events and all the things that are taking place. I don't know, you know, what she thinks about Pope Francis, but it's interesting to me to see these developments. So anyway, with the time that I have, I want to move on now. And again, looking at politics, and we'll look at a different thing here that's taking place, you know, and tie this into Relevant Magazine as well. But from time to time, you've heard me mention something called the Elijah List. And this Elijah List is a list of so-called prophets operating today, you know, part of the new Apostolic Reformation movement, and those who would claim to be prophets today. And actually, you can profit from these prophets if you will send a prophet to Steve Schultz. This online so-called ministry of the Elijah List claims to be a list of modern-day Elijahs or prophets. And they can give you personal prophecies, I suppose, you know, that these are prophecies that they're definitely prophets who turns out actually happen to be false prophets. But this is the whole thing with the Elijah's List. And it's interesting considering the midterm elections. And the reason I'm saying all this is because Relevant Magazine, of course, as I've said in the past, not only caters to liberal Christianity, progressives, emergence, you know, those who practice the popular mystical Catholic mysticism now, contemplative prayer, etc. But they also cater to those who have itching ears for charismaniac type activity, I would call it, unsound, unbiblical activities based on seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, false prophecies, experiential type things not according to scripture. And because Relevant Magazine caters to those folks and has a wide readership in those two areas, I'd like to bring up this latest event that took place through Elijah List. And the title of this is "What Happens When Prophets Miss an Election Prophecy" by Steve Schultz. From Steve Schultz: "I want to cut right to the heart of an important matter today. Last night, the elections finally happened." Of course, this was a few weeks ago. "And while it is good that the Senate was held so that future judges can still be appointed by President Trump, it honestly was not the red tsunami that several prophets prophesied." He says, in order for us to have integrity, and of course I put my little note in, no, they have no integrity. We must be willing to say we got it wrong, or we missed it, or at least on the surface, what was prophesied does not appear to have happened at all. Well, you may think you have integrity by admitting that you missed it, but if you really had integrity, you'd say, wow, it turns out that was a false prophecy. I guess we're going to have to get out of the prophecy business. But no, you'll find out that's not the case. And so he goes on to say, "Please, as readers of the Elijah List, please do understand that when a respected prophet, as Charles Schamp is, gets a word wrong, and does not make him a false prophet." Really? "A miss is a miss, that's all, and we must be honest about it." Well, I would say swing and a miss. Only, you know, I would say that guy has struck out in God's eyes if he's claiming to be a prophet and giving a false prophecy. And when he says, Mr. Schultz says, that does not make him a false prophet, actually it does, you know, and we know that according to Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18 in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we're warned about false prophets and those who falsely prophesy. False prophets, according to Schultz, lead people intentionally away from God. None of our prophets, you know, those prophets down there at the Elijah list, do that. None of them, he says. But sometimes a prophet we publish will miss it on certain words. Most of these misses are small, even tiny. Swing and a miss. Well, you know, a miss is a miss in God's eyes, and actually the standard is 100% accuracy if you're going to call yourself a prophet. And I really made a note here, and but sometimes a prophet we publish will miss out on certain words. And I put, well, it sounds like a liberal Democrat, sounds more like a liberal Democrat than a conservative red voter, you know, because, of course, Mr. Schultz is a conservative voter, apparently. And we read on, there is not any level where a red tsunami was apparent. Control of the House was lost. This is not an inconvenience to God. Nothing is impossible for God. It's an inconvenience for President Trump, but not for God. He goes on. Now, this is a text conversation between Charles Schamp, the man who made this false prophet, Charles Schamp, who made this false prophecy, and Steve Schultz regarding the red tsunami prophecy. From Steve, Charlie, it's your wee hours of the morning in Kenya. We are at early returns right now, and it's not much looking like a red wave or red tsunami. Wondered if you still felt it would be a red wind. From Charlie, hey, Steve, I'm still very confident in what I was shown from the Lord. And, of course, I would just have to say I'm confident it wasn't the Lord that showed it to him. And actually, Jeremiah 14:14, Jeremiah has a statement about those claiming to be prophets who make those, you know, near misses. Jeremiah 14:14, the Lord said unto me, this is Jeremiah speaking, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spoke unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a worthless thing, and catch this, the deceit of their heart, the deceit of their own heart. They're claiming to represent God, but they're prophesying the deceit of their own heart. So, anyway, the text message goes on to say, I'm very confident in what I was shown from the Lord. So he's blaming the Lord for this false prophecy, and I'm saddened by what I see in the natural. After what has taken place with the word regarding Brazil coming to pass, and of course, you know, in Brazil, the president, the prime minister or the president, whatever you call him in Brazil, is a conservative, I understand. It says it's hard to concede that something was not wrong with the results of this election. However, you know, our election, apparently. However, I also have to have integrity regarding the prophetic and recognize that what I was shown did not come to pass. Well, there you go. What he was shown did not come to pass. I guess that makes God the false prophet. I'm not sure, because he's still claiming that he was shown this from somebody, and I think he's claiming it was God that showed it to him. Anyway, he goes on, the article, the text says, text message says, I don't want to try and twist the word in any way to buffer criticism, as I feel that God will justify it in the future, and we will see something unexpected come out of this. I'm grateful for you and the Elijah List for standing with me as a young prophet over the years. And again, I have a note on that, and I say, yeah, that you are properly exposed as a false prophet. I'm glad that Elijah List put this on their website so we can all read it and see the effects of this false prophecy, and how that, you know, how people will be deceived when they listen to people who claim to be prophets of God and then make false prophecies. From Steve, yes, Charlie, this one is quite the mystery. It's disappointing, of course, but perhaps you are correct that something will yet reveal itself. My question for you this morning is, do you feel it would be okay for me to publish what you sent me overnight? I do feel we have to be intellectually honest that at least as far as what the eye can see, it did not appear to be a red tsunami. Well, I think we can all come to the conclusion by now, folks, that it, you know, it was not a red tsunami. If we are up front, most people will respect that. And again, my note would be, how do you respect a false prophet? We're not supposed to respect a false prophet. Jeremiah tells us that false prophets are giving us false visions, divination, vanity, and the deceit of their own heart. From Charlie, yes, I am fine with you releasing it. In fact, I believe it is important, as this could also be a test to where we are headed in the prophetic. Can God trust us to have purity, integrity when it comes to the prophetic? To whom much is given, much is required. We celebrate when the word comes to pass, and we must make corrections, adjustments, and have humility when it does not. Really? To whom much is given, much is required. Well, apparently not much was given true to this man. And, you know, if I sound harsh, it's because I need to sound harsh. We all need to be sound harsh. We all need to test all things. And if things are not from God, when someone claims they are, we need to expose it, folks. We need to watch over the sheep who are more naive and easily deceived. Now, God has challenged me, it says in this text, not to be vague in prophetic words, but to be exact when it comes to words for nations, because the church isn't just looking, but those in the world are looking as well. Yeah, the world's watching as well. They're watching this nonsense. They're watching people claiming to be Christians and prophets really make a fool of themselves and really make us all look foolish to follow this nonsense. And I would say, you know, not to be vague in prophetic words, but to be exact. Again, my sarcasm, I would say, yeah, to be exactly wrong. Sometimes in personal prophecy, we can give a word and it can be out of season, and some will feel like we missed it. Some might feel that way. Huh, gee, why would they think that? But it eventually comes to pass. Okay. I believe it is the same with words for nations. We can hear accurately, but miss the timing and the date. Well, I would say no. That's what makes it a false prophecy, when you miss the timing and the date. If you set a date and it doesn't happen, that means you're a date setter. And Jesus said, don't do that. And when you do that, that makes you a false prophet. Gee, it's not that hard. It's really pretty simple, folks. He says, I just know that one missed word does not define a movement or a prophetic people. Yes, actually it does define a false prophet and a false movement. And people should run from this as fast and as quick as they can. Stick with the Word of God, folks. The Word of God, the 66 books of the Bible. I also experienced, as he says, the depth of intercession that it took to birth the Kavanaugh prophetic word into the nation. I'm not familiar with that, but I'm sure it's concerning Judge Kavanaugh. It was a spiritual warfare unlike anything I've ever experienced. There's a real fight for this nation, and we can't give up or stop prophesying. Well, I would say, yeah, we can't give up fighting for our nation, but I think if you're a false prophet, yeah, please, please stop prophesying. Would you please do us a favor? And be thankful that God hasn't had you stoned to death. The people of God need to be encouraged by the prophets and know that God is still speaking. Yes, God is still speaking through his word, the word of God, but the people of God cannot be encouraged by people like yourself who are false prophets. And they need to know that God is not still speaking through men claiming to be prophets when they make false prophecies. I reiterate, God is still speaking, but he's speaking through his word, and we should not look for encouragement from so-called prophets. Now, then from Steve, he says, Charlie, per our previous conversation earlier today, yes, let's talk by phone when you are back in the U.S. and we can process this through. You're doing great, Charlie. Keep up the good work, Charlie. I can't help but laugh. Whatever you do, keep prophesying and keep leading people to Jesus. End of texting. All right. And what I would say is, folks, keep testing all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And Charlie is not doing great, folks. He's doing really bad. Don't listen to this Charlie Sham or whatever his name is. Excuse me. What is his real name? We don't want to miss out. Charlie Shamp. I'm sorry. Not Charlie Sham. Charlie Shamp. Okay. Anyway, it says, church, let's keep praying and moving forward, knowing that God loves our nation and wants to bring unity. We need to seriously continue receiving revelation through God's prophets. Can you believe these people, folks? It says, for they've been given to us an important gift to the body of Christ. And I wrote, no, you have given us the best reason to not receive revelation from these people. because you've been proven to be a false prophet. And I say all that leading up to Relevant Magazine in the, and this is just to show, again, some of the aspects and some of the things that you will find in any particular given Relevant Magazine. This one happens to be from the March-April issue in 2016, and there's an ad here. This is called Awaken the Extraordinary, and it's from Hillsong, the so-called ministry in Australia. Brian Houston and Bobby Houston are the pastors, and they are, of course, faithful Elijah List prophets. They're on the list, and this is an advertisement, of course, for them. And then we have the One Thing 2016, an ad for that, where Mike Bickle, who's the resident false prophet with the IHOP movement, the International House of Prayer, it says here for this conference coming up, his presence, your voice. Well, I might wonder about that presence, because Mike Bickle and the Kansas City Prophets, of which he was a part of once upon a time, IHOP is located in Kansas City, and of course they still believe that their false prophecies should be listened to, just as the Elijah folks believe, the Elijah List folks believe, even though they have also committed false prophecies, given false prophecies, and they justify it in such a way as saying, well, nobody's perfect. And if you're a prophet, you know, you've got to learn how to be a better prophet. So you've got to make some mistakes along the way. You've got to make some false prophecies. Hey, nobody's perfect. It's okay. That's not exactly right. That's not right at all, in fact. That's not how God says you deal with someone who makes false prophecies. Now, the next relevant magazine, I want to hurry to see if I can get through this article. This is from the July-August 2016 issue, and it's dealing with a church in London that I actually visited called Holy Trinity Brompton. It's an Anglican church, and the article is called London Calling by James Dwyer. Now, I visited this church after I had been on a missions trip to the island of Malta, and I met a girl there who had told me about it, and she had really tied it to the Toronto Blessing up in Canada and the Brownsville Revival down in Florida. She had said very similar, and of course she was all for it and thought it was a great thing. I would, at this point, and I probably won't make it through this whole article, but at this point I would like to read to you some information. First of all, from Brownsville Revival Toronto Ties, and the ministry that I got this from, of course, is Apologetics Coordination Team. Actually, the article was written by Larry Thomas, who's with the Lord now, and this was from his publication called The Inkhorn, and it talks about the connections with the Toronto Blessing and the Pensacola Revival. It says, anyone who claims that Pensacola is not merely Toronto recycled is not being totally honest. Revival historian Andrew Strom of New Zealand makes this clear. The links between Toronto and Pensacola are so strong that I am surprised that they are not more widely known. And he goes on to say, evangelist Steve Hill, of course, who was at the Pensacola Revival, the Brownsville Revival, also known as, has acknowledged that he had spent considerable time with a leader of the Toronto movement at the Holy Trinity Brompton Church in London. Pastor John Kilpatrick defended in his book the same manifestations that were prevalent at Toronto. Charisma magazine, who we've talked about in the past, has endorsed the Brownsville Revival and made no bones about linking it with Toronto, the Toronto Blessing, under the headline, Toronto Blessing Spreads Worldwide. The magazine made this operation. Springfield, Missouri, home to the Assemblies of God headquarters, was considered resistant to the Toronto Blessing. That began to change in June when Brownsville pastor John Kilpatrick held special services at Central Assembly of God next to Assembly of God headquarters. Pro-Pensacola writer Beth McDuffie made the connection quickly. She wrote, as people went forward, they began to fall down, shaking and crying, etc., just like Toronto meetings elsewhere. As we noted in the Issues and Insights column of our October issue, the new head of the Assemblies of God Men's Ministries sees Toronto, Brownsville, Hill, and Rodney Howard Brown as all part, you know, he was the laughing revival guy, Rodney Howard Brown, as all part of the same move. supposedly the move of the Holy Spirit. Only a few diehards are trying to create a gulf between Toronto and Pensacola that just does not exist. And then to another article, and this is actually from a website called Hope from Above, and it mentions a little bit here, and I'm going to scroll down to this. It says, the Toronto Blessing began at the Airport Church, and that's in Toronto, of course, now called Catch the Fire. This article might be a little old, I'm not sure, but it says, when Pastors John and Carol Arnott were inspired by revivals in Argentina and in South Africa, they invited Randy Clark of St. Louis, Missouri, to minister at the church. Randy Clark had been influenced by the ministry of Rodney Howard Brown, South African preacher. And then, you know, I'm going to skip ahead in the article. In that first revival service, there were about 120 people in attendance. Arnott recalled that most members fell on the floor, laughing, rolling, and carrying on. During that first year, the church's size tripled to 1,000 members, and meetings were held that night, except on Mondays, as the revival's influence spread. Reports of similar revivals emerged from Atlanta, Anaheim, St. Louis, several Canadian cities, Cambodia, and Albania. It was common for visitors to carry the influence of the revival back to their home congregations, and two notable British cases in point being Holy Trinity Brompton and Holy Trinity Cheltenham. Areas that have become known for Toronto Blessing type revivals worldwide include Pensacola, Florida, home of the Brownsville Revival, Bath, England, and Cagayan de Oro City in the Philippines. And, you know, I bring all that up because I've actually had the opportunity to visit all three of those locations, at least the Holy Trinity Brompton. Of course, after I had been to Malta, I was able to make that trip to London on a missions trip. I visited the Holy Trinity Brompton, and then I made a special trip to Toronto, to the Toronto Blessing, and then back down. And part of that same trip, okay, in other words, I visited the Toronto Blessing and the Brownsville Church on one trip, and then the earlier trip to Holy Trinity Brompton. And what the lady had told me, of course, is true, as you can tell from these articles also that I'm reading, that they're all linked by, not by the Holy Spirit, but by a false spirit, by seducing spirits. And, you know, I bring that up now and tying it, of course, to this false prophet in the Elijah list, which is tied to the current previous election. But I wanted to say more about Relevant Magazine, and I've been kind of dragging my feet. So we will be back, and I will read from the article to you. I will say a little bit more about Holy Trinity Brompton and from this article, London Calling, and then we will continue to move forward. So God bless you all. Keep looking up, and the Lord is coming.